want to share with you about how to worship and minister in the Spirit and minister to the Lord. And then we're going to come back and we're going to do a little ministry to the Lord. And I believe that God wants to bring His people into a place where we learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because when we begin to praise God and worship God in the Spirit, that creates an atmosphere for God to do mighty things in our midst. Hallelujah. So I want you to be open, be receptive, and just set yourself to receive this word and let it get into your heart. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now and praise you for the great privilege it is to once again open up the word of God. We trust you, Holy Spirit, to grant us utterance, to speak through us into the lives of the people. And Lord, we believe you tonight that you open up every person's heart. And Lord, you flood every heart with revelation knowledge. And may the spirit of wisdom and revelation just bring forth truths in our lives that will totally transform us. And Lord, we set ourselves to be good ground. Those who hear the word, receive the word, and then let it bring forth fruit in our lives. So we bless you. We praise you. We set this time before you, and we receive your will done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to look in John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. We'll begin in verse 19. Jesus is on his way through Samaria, and of course he comes to Sychar, and he comes to a well, and he sends the disciples in. The Bible said he was wearied from his journey, so he just sat down at this well and sent the disciples on into town, said, go in and get us some food and bring it back to us. And the Lord is showing us a very natural side of Himself. He's showing us that He gets hungry. He's showing us that He gets tired. Amen. He shows us that every now and then He needs somebody to go do something for Him. And so that should be encouraging to you and me. Amen. Because Jesus is living our lives in front of us, showing us how we can do it. And in this story here in the 4th chapter of John, you'll find that the Lord is not walking around here in a halo and a glory and He never gets tired, never gets sleepy, never gets hungry, never gets thirsty. But He experiences the same situations that you and I experience. Amen? And so here the Lord is. He's sitting there, and here comes a woman around noontime, and she begins to draw water, and Jesus strikes up the conversation by saying, give me a drink. So that lets me know that he's thirsty. Amen. He didn't say, hi, what's your name? He just said, I'd like to have a drink of water. Could you give me a drink of that water? So he's thirsty. And he's sitting there. So she begins to strike up a conversation with him. And it's amazing to me because the Lord then goes from this person who's tired, on a journey, hungry, thirsty, and he begins to move over into the Spirit of God, which lets us know that you don't have to be in the perfect environment, perfect situation for God to begin to work in your life. Amen? See, a lot of times we limit God based on how we feel, based on our circumstances, based on our need, based on all the things that are around us. But if the Lord was doing that, he would have never been able to minister to this woman. But the Lord operates in the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and actually begins to tell her things about herself that he couldn't know other than God showing him. So the Lord goes from this person who's tired and hungry and thirsty and sitting there wanting somebody to help him to get a drink of water to somebody who's ministering to somebody else's life. That's good news for you and me, isn't it? Praise God. How many of you ever found yourself thirsty, found yourself a little hungry, found yourself a little tired with the journey, found yourself needing somebody to go help you out? Praise God. I just don't want to go into town. Would you please go? And here comes somebody with the worst problem in you. Amen. And so all of a sudden, instead of getting your eyes on you, you begin to get your eyes on what you can do to help somebody. And God begins to work with you and through you. Right there in a weak moment in your life. Amen? And so this woman in verse 19, she pipes up after the Lord begins to speak things into her and says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Well, now she's going to get spiritual with him, okay? And so it says this, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, here's something that you need to get a hold of. The Lord's going to enter into worship here. Worship, if you study down the Greek, it could actually be translated worship. In other words, worship is you releasing your admiration and adoration unto God because of the worth that He is in your life. Amen? And so he says here, and this woman looked to him and says, okay, who's right? Now, you know, we worship here on this mountain, but you people say we're supposed to worship over here on this side. She's relegating her worship to a place, to a specific time, to a place. And so the Lord looks at her and he says, listen, lady, there's coming a time, and now is when you're not going to worship God in a place. In other words, your worship's not going to be confined to a specific area. Amen? See, a lot of us have the same thing today. We think we can't worship God except on Sunday morning in the sanctuary. And then some people think they can't worship God if they're not in their own church. And so they've got the same bondage operating in their lives that this woman had. They can't really adore God or say anything or worship or any, even offer any kind of praise unless they're in a specific place or time. So their worship is confined to natural things or spaces or places. Amen? But look what the Lord does. He says here in verse 22, he says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He says, one of the reasons you're having a hard time worshiping is because you don't know who you're worshiping. Well, come on. He says, you're just going through the motions. You're just singing songs. You're just doing these things. He said, you don't really know even who you're worshiping because your worship is confined to a building or a place, and you don't even realize that your worship isn't your building. The worship isn't your place. The worship is a person that you're declaring his worth in your life. Amen? You're worshiping the one who gives you salvation. You're worshiping the one who changes your life. You're worshiping and adoring and reverencing and just giving yourself completely to somebody, not someplace. Okay? Now look what the Lord goes on and he says, but the hour is coming and now is. In other words, it's right here. It's now here. Hallelujah. This is now available to you. If it was available to her then, how much more is it available to you and me right now? Amen? He says this, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, everybody say true worshipers. See, there's a difference in a worshiper and a true worshiper. A worshiper has a place and a time and they do it to be seen and they do it because everybody else does it. Okay? They worship when it's good. They worship when it's easy. They worship when something's happening. They worship whenever they're in the right environment. But a true worshiper doesn't need all of that. A true worshiper is someone who lives the worship life. Amen? Because you see, if you'll study out this word worship, it actually also means to minister to God or to serve God. Amen. So the true worshipers are those who are rendering service to God or serving Him. And actually, if you get right down to it, the word serve there, you could take the example of a waiter, a waitress, an attendant who comes to your table and attends to you, or they give you service. They bring service to you. They're not there for themselves. They're there to bring you the menu. They're there to bring you the food you chose. They're there to keep your drink full. They're there to take off the dishes that you're finished with. In other words, they're rendering service to you. Amen? Are you listening to me? And so he's saying the true worshipers are those who adore God, those who are serving God, those who are ministering to God, and those who are there attending to Him. Hallelujah. That's why he said, you can't really worship because you don't know who you're worshiping or what you're worshiping. Because you see, that would be like an attendant in a restaurant just walking around, just doing whatever and not realizing, you know what, I have a certain group here that I'm supposed to be taking care of. Amen? So they wouldn't be they wouldn't be a true attendant. They'd just be somebody showing up and doing whatever they wanted to do anytime or where. But you see, if you go to these restaurants and you'll find out these people that are in the service industry, they'll go in and there'll be a certain person. They'll have a section and that person takes care of that section of people. They service them. They minister them. And they take care of them, okay? And so what he's saying here is this. The Lord is saying your problem is you don't know who you're supposed to service and who you're supposed to minister to, and you don't do it unless you're in a certain place and a certain time and certain situations. He says, but true worshipers, those who reverence and adore and minister to the Lord, he said, they worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Notice he said true worshipers worship God up out of their spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit in truth. That word truth is in reality. In other words, I worship God because he is the greatest reality in my life. He is the truth of my life. He's the reality of my life. He is the reality of my salvation. He's the reality of my life, my eternity, my walk, my health, my strength, my answer to prayer. Hallelujah. And so I worship him up out of my spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit is actually the way this reads in the Greek. And he says this, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, he says, if you're going to truly worship God, then you need to know God. He needs to become the truth and the reality in your life. And when you come to him, you're ministering to him, you're servicing him, you're adoring him, you're reverencing him, and you're there to meet his needs, not yours. Amen? In other words, I'm there to render glory to God. I'm not there to get something from him. I'm there to give something to him. Are you hearing me? And so the Lord is seeking such to worship him that way. Isn't that what the Lord just said? In other words, God is looking for people who come to him, and their motive is this: God, I just want you to be pleased. I just want you to be blessed. I want you to feel good. Isn't that a little different than most mindsets, even in the church today? We think we want to feel good. But really, true worship, worshiping God in the Spirit and truth, is we want his needs to be met. Huh? We want God to be blessed. We want him to be pleased. We want him to have an enjoyable experience with us. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible talks about praise and worship coming up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. What's that mean? An aroma that's well-pleasing unto him. In other words, God just goes, I love this. I love this. They're worshiping me. They know me. And I'm the truth in their life. And I'm the salvation of their life. And they're coming to me and declaring my worth in their life. And they're coming before me. They're not asking anything. They're not praying for anything. They're just coming to worship me and adore me and love me and encourage me and strengthen me and bless me. Isn't that amazing? And that's what the Lord said. So that tells me there are times instead of us going to God, and you've got to look at this, folks. Jesus went straight from him needing to eat, from himself needing to get a drink, from himself needing rest, to going to someone else to change their life. And he ministered to her, didn't he? And then he begins to tell her now how you can take what I've done for you and turn it around and do it unto the Father and know who you're to worship and minister to him and release his blessings in everybody's life. And so we need to learn to worship God in the Spirit and worship him in truth. Now, can we do that? Look in Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to see something here in verse 3. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, for we are not going to become, but we are right now the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. If I'm born again, that means that my spirit man, I've received spiritual circumcision that Paul talks about over in Romans, and now I am set free and changed, and I'm the circumcision, not made with hands, but I'm the circumcision that's been made by the Spirit of God. God has cut away the old life and made me a brand new creation in him, and now I have the ability to worship God in the Spirit. Notice that, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Meaning what? My flesh is not determining my worship and my praise. My relationship with the Lord is determining my worship and my praise. My circumstances are not determining my worship and praise. My relationship with God is determining my worship and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, he says, I am now the circumcision, not made in the flesh, but in the Spirit, and I worship God in the Spirit, and I rejoice in Christ Jesus, and I don't let my flesh determine how I worship and adore my God. It's a good thing the Apostle Paul, I don't want to get ahead of myself, that won't even be in this service, but I'll give you a foretaste. That's a good thing the Apostle Paul learned that he was a circumcision. He wrote this, you know, because he was in that Philippian jail not feeling very good. And it's a good thing he didn't have any confidence in his flesh that night, or he would have still been in jail. Because instead of letting his circumstances and his flesh determine what he was going to do, he let his relationship with God determine what he was doing. He began to pray and sing praises unto the Lord. And you know the other part of the story. God moved. Amen? Because God always inhabits the true praises of his people. God always gets involved when people begin to bring true worship and praise into his presence. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible in verse 3, the first part of it says this, "For we Christians are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God." I like that. We worship God in spirit, in our spirit. We worship God up out of our spiritual man, out of our innermost man, and we worship God with the help of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes hold with my spirit, and I begin to worship God in spiritual praise. Amen? So we have the opportunity to praise God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5. Like I said, I just want to minister a little bit and get you to see this, and then we're going to move over into it. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, I want to read it to you in the Amplified. You can see it in the King James, New King James, whatever you have, but it all works together. But in Ephesians 5, 18, once again, the Apostle Paul's writing, and he says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." In other words, he's saying this, don't let yourself get so caught up in the world that you get intoxicated with the world. When you find yourself in situations, do not run to the world for your answer. When you find yourself in problems, don't run to the world to try to get you out of it. When you find yourself tired, don't sit down and soak it up and get even worse. Okay? But what am I going to do then, Paul? He goes on and says, "But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Man, the Message brings it out. It says, take deep drinks of the Holy Ghost and you know, major drafts. Hallelujah. In other words, he's tying in to the theme where Paul says, don't go out here and get drunk in the natural. He said that to the excess. That's debauchery. In other words, you know, but he said, if you're going to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you know in the natural, and don't look at me like a bunch of angels, I know you know what I'm talking about here. But in the natural, most people do not go out and have one drink and get drunk. They usually have to stay there until, you know, all of a sudden they don't realize they're there anymore. That's called drunk, amen? And notice he's saying, do not be drunk with wine, whereas debauchery. In other words, don't stay at the wine until you are so intoxicated that you don't know what's going on. It's, in other words, the wine is now controlling you. So he says, but be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. So he ties in a spiritual experience to a natural experience that people that have come out of the world might be able to relate to. And so what he's saying is this, if you're going to be ever filled with the Spirit, you're probably not going to get there with one praise the Lord. Amen? You probably didn't open up, you know, and get you a liquor and take one little sip and go, whoa, I'm so drunk, I can't see where I'm going. No. You probably stay there and went through a half a bottle or something. You know, in other words, you just stayed with it. In the natural, people stay with it until they get drunk. And what God is speaking through the Apostle Paul, he's saying, listen, I'm taking a natural experience and bringing it over here in the spiritual realm. He's saying, stay in praise and worship until it begins to affect you. Okay, keep drinking in of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said in John 7, 37, 38, and 39. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Well, how much am I supposed to drink? Until up out of your innermost being begins to flow rivers of living water. How many of you found out that just one drink probably doesn't release a river? So the Lord is saying there are times you're going to have to come before Him and worship Him and minister to Him until the Holy Spirit actually saturates you and His presence comes down upon you. Amen? Now, notice that we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And here Paul says, be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, now how am I going to be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit? Well, let's continue to read on. He says in verse 19, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your hearts to the Lord. Now here Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He's not just writing to an individual, he's writing to an entire congregation. And he's telling the entire congregation, don't be so caught up and intoxicated with the things of the world that you lose sight of who you're to worship. Don't be so caught up in the things that are going on in your life that when you come together, you don't adore and reverence and hold with high esteem and glory in your God. But when you come together, what you need to do is you need to come and begin to worship God and begin to drink in of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and here's how you begin to release the anointing of God. You begin to speak to yourselves. Notice that, speaking to one another. In other words, I begin to speak out my praise unto God. I begin to declare His worship. I begin to declare who He is in my life. I begin to exalt Him, hallelujah. Then notice the next thing, he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A psalm is a spiritual ode. A spiritual song is not one that we put up on the screen, but it is one who comes up out of your spirit, hallelujah. You know, he's talking about singing in the Spirit. Worshiping God. And notice he talks about in giving thanks unto God. You know what that means? That means we come together and it doesn't matter what's going on around us. I have prayed. It's settled. As far as I'm concerned, God, I'm not going to be moved by what's going on in my life anymore. And I'm not going to stay intoxicated with my problem. Somebody says, what do you mean? Are you talking about it? Are you thinking about it? Is it dragging you around with you all the time? That's called being intoxicated with your problem. And God, I didn't come to church to miss an opportunity to get filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm not coming to church and missing an opportunity to worship you and get this off of me and move over into a place where up out of my spirit begins to flow rivers of living water. And notice Paul is now talking to the church. In the next session, we'll talk about individually, praise God. But I'm talking about right now as a church. The church comes together, and instead of carrying our problems to the altar, we should be bringing our praise and worship to the altar. And instead of coming in here and just telling God for all through the praise and worship how bad our day's been, why don't we come in here and do like Paul did, pray, Lord, it's in your hands, and I'm going to begin to praise you. I'm going to begin to sing to you. I'm going to begin to thank you. I'm going to begin to worship you. I'm going to begin to attend to you. Because unbeknownst even to me, probably all day you've been taking care of me. Because it's been so bad, if it hadn't been for you, I probably wouldn't be here now. So I better wake up and realize that you were the one covering me, protecting me, and taking care of me. So I'm going to worship you. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to glory in your name. So the apostle is telling us here that the Holy Spirit comes into us in verse 18 to enable us to worship in the Spirit and to praise God in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and to give thanks unto His name. Amen? So when we come together as the church, praise God, there's a corporate anointing. See, you can do this in your home. You can do this anywhere because Jesus said you don't have to be in a sanctuary or in a certain place to do this. You have to have a relationship with God to do this. Amen? So if I'm doing this at home, it should not be a hard thing for me to do it when I come together with other believers. Because individually, we can worship God out of the Spirit. But then corporately, we come together, and there's a corporate anointing that God begins to move, and the glory begins to come in, and we begin to see God move in a great, mighty way. Amen? Now, notice he says we're to sing spiritual songs unto God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. I'll read it to you first of all out of the New King James, and we want to look at the Amplified. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13. Paul says this, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So he's talking about speaking in tongues or speaking in a heavenly language here. Amen. He's talking about, spiritual things. And so then Paul says this, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, it's not coming out of your head, it's coming out of your heart. And then he says this, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will sing. I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. In other words, Paul says, I can operate in both realms. I can pray out of my natural mind, but I can also pray out of my heart and out of my spirit. I can sing praise songs that we've learned, but I can also sing praises unto God from the Spirit. And the Amplified in verses 14 and 15 says it this way. Paul says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. I like that. In other words, every time I begin to pray in tongues, it's my spirit and the Holy Spirit working together. Amen? Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit gives me utterance and I speak in tongues. Can I let you in on another secret? The Holy Spirit doesn't sing spiritual songs. The Holy Spirit gives me the anointing and the unction, and I have to do the spiritual singing. See, the Holy Spirit is not the worshiper, folks. I'm the worshiper. The Holy Spirit's the one who helps me worship. Okay? I'm the one who chooses to worship God. I'm the one who chooses to magnify God. I'm the one who chooses not to let my flesh determine my actions. I'm the one who chooses to drink in of the Spirit of God. I'm the one who chooses to lift my voice up and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs unto my God. Amen? The Holy Spirit stirs me, stimulates me, and strengthens me and helps me to do that. But I'm the worshiper, not the Holy Spirit. Come on, that's worth coming tonight if you don't get anything else. Because a lot of people are waiting on some kind of a supernatural feeling or unction of the Holy Ghost just going to take over and then you're just going to jump up and start singing, hallelujah, but that's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit will stir you. He'll stimulate you. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. Paul said, if I pray in tongues, it's my spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit doing the praying. Now let's read this next verse in the Amplified. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. Now listen to this next part. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying you need to have a blend of singing songs and then singing in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you to do that, and you do it as worship unto God. You're ministering unto the Lord. You're glorifying Him. And once again, the Apostle Paul learned this. He's the one that's teaching these things. And we go back to the Philippian jail experience. Paul has been beaten. He's been, maligned. He's been falsely accused. And all these people that are against him and wanting to kill him and everything. He didn't even get a fair trial. And he gets thrown in jail. And at midnight, he prays one time, puts the thing over in God's hands, and from then on begins to praise God. How many of you really think now, think before you answer, how many of you really believe that Paul felt like singing praises in that jail? That's what I thought. Nobody. How many of you know that the Holy Ghost didn't just come flowing down in that jail and all of a sudden Paul went, hallelujah. But you know what happened? As Paul stirred himself, and as Paul made the decision, I'm the circumcision. I worship God in the Spirit. And I rejoice in Christ Jesus. And I have no confidence in the flesh. I refuse to let my flesh determine what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to be drunk with my problem and sit in here all night and complain and fuss and let my misery spread. I'm putting that in God's hands, and right now I'm going to minister to the Lord because He is my salvation. He is my hope. He is my deliverer. And the only way I'm coming out of here is with His help. So I'm going to begin to thank Him and praise Him and sing spiritual songs unto Him right now. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit began to come into that environment. The Holy Spirit began to stir him on the inside. The Holy Spirit began to take hold together with him. Why? Because Paul's the one writing here in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, "For if I sing, I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing in tongues with the help of the Holy Spirit." In other words, as he began to sing in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost began to hook up with him. See, folks, the Holy Spirit's your helper. What do you mean, he's your helper? Well, let's just look at it this way, okay? Let's have, don't you, y'all come up here, praise God. These are going to be my helpers, okay? Come on up on the platform. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to move this podium. I need you guys to help me to move this podium. So, no, wait a minute, wait. So I back up. I want you to help me to move the podium, right? Okay, I'm wanting you to help me to move the podium. Why is the podium not getting moved? Because I'm not initiating anything. They're not the ones that are supposed to move it. They're supposed to help me move it. You understand? I just don't understand why that podium's not being moved. I can sense the presence of helpers. That's because, you see, the Holy Spirit is not the worshiper. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers me to worship. I'm the worshiper. I'm the one God's seeking to worship, not the Holy Spirit. I'm the one supposed to be singing praises unto God. I'm the one who's supposed to be adoring him and magnifying him and exalting him. I'm the one who's supposed to be bringing my flesh under and presenting myself to the Lord and ministering to him, even in my need, even in my time of hurt. Amen. So how do I get them to help? I come over and say, "Okay, guys, you grab this and I'll grab that." And all of a sudden, we take hold together. Amen. And see, that's what Paul said in Romans 8. He says, "There, we have a weakness sometimes that we don't even know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit comes and takes hold together with us against that problem and helps us to move it." Amen? That's the same way it is with praise. Whenever I set myself to do it, immediately my helper, come on in, grabs hold and takes hold together with me against the situation that I need moved. And together we move it out of the way. Amen? And that's what praise and worship is. Thank you, guys. We don't, a lot of people want the Holy Spirit to come in and just go whoosh, and everybody's going, "Whoa, hallelujah." No. You have to begin to stir yourself and praise and worship and adore God and ask the Holy Spirit to take hold together with you to lift your praises up to him so you can praise God in the Spirit. Now, singing in the Spirit is singing in tongues. Amen. It's spiritual singing. That's what he's talking about here. He said, if I sing, listen once again. He says, I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. With the Holy Spirit's the one giving me the utterance, I'm singing in tongues. I'm singing in the Spirit. Spiritual songs is me singing in the Spirit. Amen. It is me ministering unto the Lord. Now, look in Acts chapter 13 real quickly, and we're going to begin to minister to the Lord. Why is it so important that when the church comes together, when believers come together, it's not just a time to pray, it's not just a time to try to minister to each other, but it should be a time of ministering also to the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, listen to what he says. Now the church, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. I mean, these are prophets and teachers. These are ministers of God. And they were Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Notice that? Not when they prayed, not when they asked God for things, not when they were seeking God or making requests, but as they ministered to the Lord. The word ministered there is they were servicing the Lord. You study it out. As they were adoring and worshiping and ministering unto God, attending to him, they weren't seeking anything specifically. They weren't asking God for anything. They were praising and worshiping and ministering to the Lord, singing in the Spirit, worshiping God. And you know what happens as they are ministering to the Lord? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Ooh, glory. Amen. Somebody says, I don't ever hear God talking to me. Maybe you're not creating the environment where he can talk to you. See, we have to create an atmosphere for God to move. Are you listening to me? Listen, over in the Bible, you go over in Kings and you'll find out that there were two kings. Jehoshaphat was invited to come down and go to battle with the ungodly kings of Israel. And they called for the prophet. And the prophet came over and said, you know what? It's so ungodly and so carnal. If it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even came over here. But it's even bad even with him here. Go get me a minstrel, a praise and worship team. And that praise and worship team didn't come over and start praying, oh, God, give him a word. They came over and began to play their instruments and worship and minister to the Lord. And you know what happened when they began to worship and minister to the Lord? The Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet and began to speak out to him. Hallelujah. What? Because they turned a bad environment into a holy environment and a place where God could begin to speak. Amen? How many of you would like for God to speak to us tonight? How many of you like God to speak to you and give you some direction and guidance or do something mighty in your life? Well, we need to create that environment for God to say something to us. Amen? So what does he say? Let's go ahead and read it again. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Notice it says in verse 3 that they, the other apostles and prophets, sent Paul and Barnabas away. But now read what verse 4 says. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It may have been their hands, but it was God's anointing. It may have been them ministering to the Lord, but it was God's will and plan that was exposed and brought out to them. Amen? Amen. So here's what we need to do. We need to set ourselves to, first of all, lay every care, worry, everything that would hinder us, anything of the flesh, we need to put that over on the Lord. And then we need to just make up our mind, God, we're not going to come and ask you for anything. We're not just going to come and seek you for anything. We're just going to come and worship you. And minister to you. And Lord, if you want to say anything or do anything, that's totally up to you. And if you don't, that's totally up to you too. We're just fine either way. We just want to know that when we've sang and worshiped you, that you've been blessed. You think of it, folks. God, our Father, is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. God wants us to do this. You and I, as a believer, as religion would teach you, a lowly, on the bottom rung Christian, God doesn't see us that way. But you and I, here we are on earth. We can minister to the God who created everything. Isn't that amazing? See, all the time we think God's supposed to be ministering to me. But there are times God wants me to come minister to him. Isn't that great? Hallelujah.